Good morning. You are tuned to KBBI Homer, AM 890. The time is 9:02 a.m. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and this is The Coffee Table. This morning, candidates for District P State Senate. Senator Stevens, do you read me?
Yes, I hear you clearly. Thanks.
And Greg Madden from the Alaska Independence Party. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Wonderful. Welcome to you both, and thank you so much for being on The Coffee Table. Listeners, you can call in to 235-7721, and you can ask your questions on the air, or you can leave your questions. Chloe is standing by to take questions, but I do have a few to begin. But let's start with some introductions. We will start with Senator Gary Stevens of Kodiak. You were in the State House, I think, in 2001. I've got elected to the Alaska Senate in 2003. You've been the mayor of Kodiak City and Borough, and you're a retired college professor. What did you teach?
I was a history professor, history and humanities, and taught a full career, 25 years with the university, and retired, and then ran for the legislature.
And so can you introduce, I realize you've been in the starting in the State House and in state government since 2001, but there are people out there who don't know who you are. So if you'll take a moment to introduce yourself.
Sure. Glad to, Kathleen. Thanks. Well, I spent 13 years as a local elected government official, city mayor, borough mayor, school board president, and that's all extremely valuable to know what's going on at the local level and to know the needs of the community. So let's see, my background, I am married, been married for 48 years now, coming in November, 48 years, three children, two grandchildren, and our children are all adults now and out on their own and doing successful. I received my doctorate, PhD from the University of Oregon. And as I said, I was an Army intelligence officer for 3 years, so that's been my experience. I guess that's probably about it. I've been in Alaska since 1970, and will never leave.
And you are running as the Republican candidate for State Senate in District P.
That's right.
And Dr. Greg Madden, I have that you are relatively recently new to Soldotna. You're a chiropractor, and I want to give you the same. Have some time to introduce yourself to people.
Okay, I'm not too recent. I've been here since 11, so that's 9 years now. And I am a chiropractic physician. I've been doing this since 2001. The college time, I taught biology for quite a while down in Texas. My favorite is anatomy and physiology, since that's what my doctorate is in. I taught public school. That was 7th and 8th grade math and a music class in there as well from time to time. I've been a minister since 1982, so I understand working with people and making things happen and building coalitions. I believe in a return to the Constitution and the rule of law. I believe in liberty and freedom, trumping being the paramount things to look for. Been married for 30 years. I've got four kids and two grandkids. I've been on the Kenai Peninsula School Board since 2018. And, the principles and values, the sense of fiscal responsibility, I had people call me and ask me if I would run. They said that they thought I'd make a good senator because of the foundation of public service that I have in my past. And so I thought about that and enthusiastically accepted their challenge and haven't had a good night's sleep since, because it has been a busy time on campaign trail.
And how long have you been a member of the Alaska Independence Party?
That has just been for a few months. I was running as an independent before, and somebody said, you ought to check out the Alaska Independence Party because they say a lot of the same things that you say a lot of, that the federal government should be out of the picture in Alaska, that we should have our own lands and run our own show instead of being so dependent on the federal government telling us what we can do with our land. And so that's a big part of that platform, and that's something I truly believe in.
Do you support the party's stated goal to become a free standing nation, to secede, to have the opportunity to secede from the United States?
The big thing that they're pushing, at least on what I have seen, and I was at the state convention just very recently and spoke there, but they're saying that they believe that there should have been a vote that offered options like that. It's not a matter of we need to secede from the union, but that we feel like we were shortchanged because those options were not offered. And I think that's, they make a good point about that, looking at law and other options that happened all kinds of other places around the world around that time, that I think that should have been offered to Alaska at that time.
So there are a couple of things in there in the platform, the AIP platform, that I want to ask you about, because it sounds, some of the things you've already said are right in line with that. One of the stated goals of the party is to move all federal land to state control. So national parks and most, a great deal of Alaska is federally owned land.
Yes.
And you and the state, one of the stated goals in the party is to support privatizing those lands. So is it, can you explain what that is? Is that the sale of federal lands to private individuals?
Well, first we have to get the control of those federal lands. And depending on how things go, well, that may be something that we can find more access to, find better results for. But opening up to homesteading and things like that would be an awesome thing that would help Alaska. It would help us to grow our economy, and it would help us to settle the lands and make things, I think, a better place overall for Alaska.
And also, the AIP supports an end to all property taxes. So the last, this, I'll move on to Senator Stevens in a minute, because this is one of the questions I really would like to hear from you on, is how would any services, what services do you think are worthy of being funded publicly, and how would that happen without property taxes?
Well, there are all kinds of lofty goals that we can have. Doesn't mean that they're attainable, or certainly not right now. But property tax is not something that we can talk about yet. It's something that we're in a bind right now. There's no way we could look at doing something other than that. And that was written back when oil was bringing us a whole lot more money. And so is it an ideal? Is it something that we'd like to see? Sure, but it's not something that's practical for right now.
Okay. And Senator Stevens, I have a question here from Caroline, and anyone who wants to send in a question can call 235-7721, and Chloe will either take down your question or she can send your signal on into the board and you can ask it in person. Senator Stevens, Caroline wants to know, what can the state do to ensure the university system and to keep it to the University of Alaska system?
Sure, great question. And as Kathleen, as you know, and as you mentioned, I spent 25 years with the university had a great experience and had a lot of students that I've dealt with over that time and helped them to go on to successful careers and to graduate from the college and the university. So I think that the university system is extremely important. We have to make sure that our young people and also older people have the opportunity to go to college, to get a degree, to help them move ahead in their careers. I think we have a real problem when it comes to nurses and public school teachers. We need to have the university step up and do more for the for those people who are interested in degrees in those areas. But overall, the university is extremely important. It's it adds a lot to our economy. It brings jobs to Alaska. And as things change, as people do things more from home, more from Alaska than in other places, it's just really crucial that we offer the opportunity to our students to get a college degree. So you asked, what can I do? Well, I believe in funding the university. I believe that we have, certainly there are some reductions we can take. You know, there are places we can find cuts to that budget. But for the most part, I think we need to increase the university to make sure that it's there, doing the good things that it's done in the past, providing education to all of Alaskans.
And the university system has, it's been under fire. It's lost an enormous amount of funding. It's lost accreditation in some of its degree programs. And so are there other things that a state senator can do to support the university system?
Well, absolutely. We, the legislature, passes the budget. The governor doesn't write the budget. We write the budget. The governor can veto certain things, so we have to make sure we work closely with the governor. You know, his reductions to the university so far have been just pretty enormous, and it has had a real negative impact on personnel. People have left, gone to other universities. We've lost a lot of really highly qualified people and students as well who have decided to instead of going to the University of Alaska, to go outside. So, yeah, we do need to work closely with the governor to make sure that we keep a strong university. Now, as for accreditation, that was a terrible event where the university in Alaska, University of Anchorage, lost its accreditation for its teacher training program. That was a horrible thing because we need teachers, and we got to make sure we have more teachers. So that's an issue that we've got to keep working on. But I got to tell you, the way it has worked in the end is that the other universities in Fairbanks and Juneau have stepped into that void, and they are offering classes in Anchorage. So Anchorage students, a majority of our students in Alaska, are able to get their teaching degrees. So that's worked out. It was a shame it happened, but we found a way to work around it. So we still have teachers' programs going on in Alaska.
Thank you. And Greg Madden, I want to ask basically the same question to you. What can the state do to support the university system in Alaska? And then I have a couple of follow-ups, but I want you to start with that.
Well, we can start by encouraging them to develop the land into money, that the land-based or the, but it's a land-based college. You know, the lands that were given to them to support them financially, that should have been going on a lot more substantially throughout the past, and that's something that needs to be encouraged all the more so that instead of increasing funding to them, which we don't have, we can decrease some of that funding as they are able to stand on their own legs with using those lands for turning into a sustainable budget for them.
And do you agree with the assessment, with the senator's assessment, that we need more public school teachers? Because I see a lot in your platform about privatizing and homeschooling.
Yeah, we need more teachers. And that the accreditation program, I don't know what happened there in the details, but I know when we would have accreditation time, that was taken absolutely serious. And then when accreditation doesn't pass, there are remedies, and you have to get them done the right way on time. But there are people you can go to for every detail to say, we want to make sure we have everything in a row. That's always a big thing, and it does need to be put back together. And I hear a lot of good things about the engineering program that's up in Fairbanks as well. It sounds like they're doing a great job with that.
Now, this question just came in from Teresa. Teresa has a question for Greg Madden. Please explain in detail what you mean by returning to the Constitution and the rule of law.
Well, that's a good question. For instance, the PFD, I don't see the PFD situation as the problem. I see it as a symptom of the problem. We have to return to the rule of law. The statutory formula is what I'm looking to, which means it is a statute. It is the law. That's what I want to go back to. And I'd like it enshrined in the Constitution if we can get that done. It's the people's money. That's how it was set up to be, and that's how it has functioned until the last 5 years. With the rule of law, you read the Constitution, and the Constitution says that if there are special sessions, the governor says, here's where and here's when. And yet we see that there were all kinds of things happening with people not going to Wasilla. They were in Juneau. All kinds of things that were going on. I don't believe that that is right. That's not constitutional. And so returning to that, the rule of the Constitution and the constitutional ways of running government. How's that?
Okay, thanks. Now, this question is from Scott, who says, I heard former Representative Les Guerra say on a radio program that passing Proposition 1, Alaska's Fair Share, is the best and only way to make up the budget shortfall in the shortest time. Scott's question is, do you agree that Proposition 1, taxing North Slope oil companies, will help make up the budget shortfall, which looks like it's going to be $2 billion this year? Let's start with Greg Madden, and then we'll go to the to Senator Stevens.
Well, that's a good question, Scott. The way I see Proposition 1, ballot measure 1, it's more than just about money. It's about privacy issues. That's the big thing that I see. It's buried in there. Money is nice, but privacy is paramount. And why these two were put together, I do not understand. That the oil companies are going to have to expose to the public their books, their dealings. Well, you know, we say it's not my business what they do. Well, that's what it is. It's not my business, but that's what Proposition 1 or ballot measure 1 would make it into. And you have to look at who's financing this. The man who seems to be the driving force behind this same thing has made a lot of money suing the oil companies and has put $1 million of his own money into pushing this initiative, this ballot measure. And I wonder why, because if all these amounts of information are opened up, well, it would be hard to do business here again, and it would be very easy to try to nitpick and find something to bring up in litigation.
And what would you suggest to make up a $2 billion budget shortfall?
Well, you're still talking to me?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think there's a quick fix to this. It's going to take sitting down and going through with a fine-tooth comb over everything that we can do and having to streamline things. And there are just a lot of tools that are available, and it's going to take, you know, out of 20 senators and 40 legislators, it's going to take sitting down and going through with a fine-tooth comb at all the details and all the options to make this work as best we can.
Thank you, Greg Madden. Senator Stevens, can you talk about the effect that, first of all, do you support Proposition 1, taxing North Slope oil companies? And second, what would that do practically to help make up the budget shortfall?
Thanks, Kathleen. You know, it's a very big question, and to fully explain it, it's going to take a little time, but I'll try and make it as quick as I can.
We've got 40 minutes.
Several years ago, we passed Senate Bill 21, the legislature did. I was opposed to it. What it did was to give enormous tax credits to the oil industry to the point that we really are not receiving much out of our oil resources. So we passed Senate Bill 21. Again, myself, a couple of the Republicans voted against it, but a couple of Republicans who voted for it were actually employees of ConocoPhillips at the time. So anyway, that passed. And what we didn't consider at the time, what they didn't consider, those who voted for it, is what happens when oil goes below $60 a barrel. When that happens, that means that Alaska virtually gets almost nothing out of its oil resources. The oil companies are doing fine. I don't want to overtax them. But what we're talking about in Proposition 1 is to reduce those tax credits that we gave to big oil for a time in order to bring things back. And so we are receiving some monies from our enormous resources. I mean, what's the point of our giving our resources away? Certainly we're hiring a lot of people, and that's important. Those jobs are important, but we also need to receive some value for our oil resources. So, you know, that's not up to me to decide what's going to happen with Proposition 1. That's up to the voters. They have to decide, and if they decide to approve it, then the state will receive more monies. Now, one thing you have to realize is extremely important. If Proposition 1 is passed and we find it's not working, in a year's time, the legislature can go in and change it. So remember, and it's very important in both these propositions, that we can change anything in a year's time if it's not working.
Okay, thank you, Senator Stevens. The next question is for both candidates. It's a listener asks, if the Supreme Court votes to allow Roe v. Wade or abortion rights to be determined by the states, are you pro-life or pro-choice? And Senator Stevens?
Well, I am pro-life, but that's an issue that's really out of our hands. Whatever happens with the Supreme Court, they could make a change there, but you know, I've always supported the issue of pro-life and always will.
Well, and Greg Madden?
Yes, ma'am. I am absolutely pro-life.
Okay, thanks a lot for that. And I do have questions about Well, I guess it would leave it open to the states for legislation. But, you know, abortion was legal in Alaska before Roe v. Wade. So I wonder what would have to... Would you sponsor, Mr. Madden? Would you be a part of leading the... making abortion illegal in Alaska?
Yes, ma'am, I would. You look back at when, and I know some people don't really like to talk about this, but when God judges nations, he tells them why, and it's very rarely, it's never about tax situations or things like that, but it's how we take care of our own, and protecting innocent life is always important.
Okay, and then the same question for Senator Stevens. Would you take a leadership role in making abortion illegal in the state of Alaska?
Okay, well, let me say, I just met Greg. We talked on the phone yesterday. I have great respect for him, and we agree on this issue completely. So thanks for those comments, and I certainly am opposed to abortion issues.
Well, but would you take a leadership role in the Senate introducing legislation to ban abortion in...
Well, you have to understand that this is a federal law, and federal law always trumps state law. So, you know, if the right now we're under Roe v. Wade, if that were to change, it'll be a different situation for us to face. The state, there's some things the state cannot do, and the Supreme Court will make those decisions, and we have to live with them.
And let's move on to, let's talk a little more about the budget, actually, before we move on. Let's start with Senator Stevens. What are some of the inefficiencies, are there, or has inefficiencies in the state of Alaska budget, and where are they? If, or has it been cut to the point where there are no longer place anything else to cut, where there is no longer anything else to cut?
Well, that's a great question, Kathleen. And we, in the last few years, have cut the budget over $1 billion. So we found places where we can cut the budget, where we can reduce the inefficiencies to make government more efficient. We've got to keep looking at those places. It's going to be very hard to do. You know, everyone can say, well, cut that budget, but few people have any real specifics as to where we can reduce that budget. If there are good ideas out there, the legislature will certainly consider them and try and find ways to cut the budget. But as I said, we have done that over $1 billion in the last few years. So, you know, I think the budget is the biggest issue we're facing. Obviously, that's the one constitutional requirement the legislature has. Our Constitution says that we will wind up with a balanced budget. Unlike the federal government, that doesn't have to have a balanced budget, our revenues have to equal our expenditures. The other way around, our expenditures cannot be more than the revenue we receive. So it's a big issue. I'm hoping that we will hit the ground running on the budget and try and get through that in the first 60 days, if not 75 days at the most. But that's the one issue we have got to confront. More important than all the bills that we're facing and all the other issues facing the legislature is getting that budget balanced. So you're right. There are always inefficiencies. We can always find ways to nickel and dime that budget, reduce a little bit. But the problem is, you know, when you take education, K-12, and health and social services, you know, those two things are over half the budget. Where do you find ways to cut that? Particularly about education, K-12. You know, we've asked an enormous amount from our school districts. We've asked them to handle this COVID, a lot of expenses there. Can we really expect to reduce that budget? The governor, as you may remember, 2 years ago in his budget, he cut education, K-12, by 25%. Can you imagine in your community if you had 25% fewer teachers, 25% less money, 25% more students in a classroom? You know, surely there are places that we can save a little bit of money. We can cut that budget. We can find more areas where we can reduce the budget. But it's not going to be a big dollar amount. It's not going to be enough to save us. We're going to have to find other ways to get revenues.
Well, that was my next question, is because I didn't hear any program, any positions. You didn't name anything that you felt that you were comfortable saying should be cut from the budget. So what are the other, how does one develop revenue for the state? Because $2 billion, nickels and dimes aren't going to cover that.
Well, you're quite right, Kathleen. So what we we are doing is we passed some time ago a 5% market value POMV, so we can take 5% out of the permanent fund and run the government and pay for a dividend and also inflation-proof the permanent fund. That permanent fund is the most valuable thing we've got going, and it really concerns me when people talk about let's spend that permanent fund on permanent fund dividends. Let's make sure that we give everyone $3,000. Well, that $3,000 translates into $2 billion reduction in the permanent fund. Both the permanent fund capital, the corpus, and also the earnings reserve of the permanent fund, together, they total $65 billion. If we can refrain from overdrawing the permanent fund, then that fund will be there to help us out well into the future. You know, right now, at $65 billion, the POMV comes out to between $3 and $4 billion. If and when that fund reaches, say, $100 billion, and they're anticipating that in 20 years, that's $5 billion in the POMV. So if we can be a little cautious in taking money out of that fund, we can save it and make sure that it helps us in the future. So I'm just really concerned about those who want to raid the fund. I think it's a terrible, terrible mistake.
Thank you. And are any other ideas for increasing revenue, Senator?
You know, we talked, if that question is for me, we've talked a lot about income tax and sales tax, and I don't think we quite need that. If we are wise and refrain from overdrawing, from attacking that permanent fund, it'll help us out in the future, and we can continue as we are without having to have an income tax or a sales tax. But I do think that's an important discussion we should have in the future. There's no rush to do that. I voted always to oppose an income tax, but at some point we may have to face that.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Greg Medin, candidate from the Alaska Independence Party. How familiar are you with the state's budget as it stands today and its history? Can you talk a little bit about what your thoughts about any cuts that could be made to the budget and sources of revenue that could be developed?
I'd be glad to. The inefficiencies that we have, they're all over the place. You know, back in the 80s when money was spent, it didn't matter whether it was spent wisely or not because there was so much of it that it just was plenty of money to cover everything. And as we've gotten further and further along and the oil prices are to where we get less and less revenue, we have to stop, for instance, funding unfilled positions. Those are around in different places. That's already something that we can tighten things up on. As we help the university system go to selling their lands and using them for revenue, then there's a reduction there. The schools and the infrastructure have to be dealt with, but can be increased in efficiency there as well. For instance, with the school at KCLO, this was an enormous undertaking, not just because the structure itself, but how to get the structure in place, how to run the electricity for it, how to run the water for it, because all these were going to require upgrades to what was already there. So in the working with Mayor Charlie Pierce, we were able to come up with different plans where we can make changes to the school building, we can make changes to how things are going to have to work and save millions of dollars just on one structure. So if we can continue to have efficiencies like this, everything will still be taken care of, everything will still be addressed, but it's when you can save millions of dollars off a single project, it starts to add up in a hurry. Is this good? I mean, you want some more details?
Well, you're welcome to go into further detail, but if you're ready, I would like to ask you about, do you see potential sources of revenue?
Okay, potential sources of revenue is in taxes. I do not want taxes. I believe that there's enough money that's out there as we increase efficiencies and trim things down. You can't cut your way out of $2 billion. I understand that. But increasing the efficiencies is going to be a tremendous help, and it's something that should have been done all along. As we look back at things, you know, there's room where things can always become better. And as far as the POMV, or back to the statutory formula for the PFD, you know, our economy is hurting very badly. And if we put the money in the hands of the people, it's their money to begin with, as I see this. And as the money is put into the hands of the people, it's going to give a tremendous boost, not only to each individual, but then to our economy as a whole, which is very much hurting because of the shutdowns of the COVID and as well as the price of oil. So this is going to be a big boost to our economy. And if there's ever been a time to eat some of that seed corn, I believe that this is the time. We're not wanting to raid the corpus, you know, the body of the permanent fund, but just the earnings reserve. I believe that the inflation proofing has already been paid back to the corpus, if I understand that correctly. And so the money that's sitting there that's available, putting that back into the hands of the people would be a big boon to help our economy. And because our economy is able to grow, I believe that's something that will help us to be better off as a state as well.
Okay, thank you, candidate Greg Madden. Senator Stevens, before we move on, do you want to add anything to the discussion about raising revenue, cutting the budget, percent of market value?
Well, I think it's really important that we have a clear-eyed view of the permanent fund and what it does. You know, the permanent fund totaled $65 billion. That's in two parts. It's in the principal, which is about $54 billion, and then it's also in the earnings reserve, which is about $10 billion. They are all a part of the permanent fund, and they all gain interest from what we're getting out of that money is extremely important. We're getting about 8% income from the earnings of the permanent fund. So anytime you touch either one of those funds, it's all a part of the permanent fund. If you touch the principal or the earnings reserve, it's all reducing the permanent fund. It's all a raid on the permanent fund. So just realize how important that is. We have been lucky that, you know, I assume you know that when I was Senate President, 90% of our revenues came from oil. Well, now, because of the reduction in oil prices, the reduction in the amount of oil going through that pipeline, it's about 30%. So we have lost 60% of our oil revenues that we had a few years ago. The only thing we have to depend on at this point is the permanent fund. If we can leave it alone, take out enough to have a reasonable dividend and not overdraw it, not raid that permanent fund, then it'll be there for us in the future. So I can't stress that enough. That we can survive, we can make this, but to realize, too, that we have cut the budget already. We have done all we can. There are other areas we can cut, and undoubtedly there are areas where there are mistakes, where we have not cut everything. We'll keep doing that. But as I said, over $1 billion in cuts in the last 3 years, that's pretty enormous.
Thank you, Senator Stevens.